A little over a week ago, I was able to go to the canonization of St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio. I was able to get, quote-unquote, backstage passes. I was able to make it to the gate despite all the many obstacles in getting there. We were able to be there. I was able to meet the mother of St. Carlo Acutis on the day of the canonization. None of these things, because of my luck or my being blessed or any of my own connections, but because of the intercession of St. Carlo Acutis, when I saw all these things happen, I asked myself the question, there's more to this saint than what is being told. This is an incredible saint. I've never experienced such powerful intercession that is so immediate. And so because of that, I want to create this video to reveal to you the incredible mysticism and spirituality and holiness of this saint, specifically his devotion to the souls in purgatory. We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. At the end of the video, I want to share with you two really amazing things about St. Carlo Acutis that you should know, sort of secrets here. So stick around for that. Now, all of this is coming to us from the book, My Son Carlo. If you want to get to know St. Carlo Acutis, whatever it is that you're reading right now, put that down and read this book, because this book is written by none other than his mother. She has information and she gives quotes from him and she gives reflections and she shares details that you cannot get anywhere else. It is a great read. I really enjoy it. And the things that you learn are really quite spectacular. We're going to go through chapter 5. Nothing will separate us. I will take kind of excerpts and then just give some of my own thoughts to some of the things that she says. It's really unbelievable. It begins, Carlo felt a strong attachment with those that are no longer with us, with the deceased starting at a young age. So this is supernatural. He always said that our relationship with them remains, even though it is experienced in a different way. So notice these things. He died at 15. For any person 15 or younger to even have this or think about this is unusual. It's not normal. It's supernatural. So he was in some ways an ordinary kid, but already something extraordinary. Listen what happened to him. I came to understand this well when my father died. He passed away at age 59 from a heart attack. There was a special attachment between Carlo and his grandfather. In fact, when he was still quite young, he spent a lot of time with him and my mother in their house in Rome and at the seaside, which had reinforced their bond. A few months after his grandfather's passing, Carlo told me that he had seen his grandfather dressed in blue. He said that his grandfather had asked him for his prayers because he was in purgatory, but also that he was all right because he had been saved. Carlo told me these things simply and with a disarming certainty. There was no doubt in his mind his grandfather had spoken to him. Later, he told me that he had experienced other signs through which God made him understand that it was important to maintain a relationship with the dead, to pray for their souls, and to ask them to help us. Carlo's favorite means for helping them was through the Eucharist and reciting the Rosary. So in that little sentence is the essence of everything that we believe as Catholics that God revealed to him, that we stay in a relationship with them, that our relationship with them is not cut. We are the church militant is in a relationship with the church suffering, and we must maintain that, to pray for their souls, which many of us know, but many of us, and I try to emphasize this, and if you watch my channel, you should know this, that to ask them to help us. This channel exists because of the help of the souls in purgatory, and it's a testament to it would not exist if they weren't praying for me. It would have been dead long ago. So it's where it's at because of them. So if you don't believe, look at this channel. It exists because of them. And there you see the little kind of evidence that his mother gives, that God, he experienced other signs. What does this mean? Other signs. What are you talking about? His mother's name is Antonia. I believe Antonia. What are you talking about? Mrs. Acutis, what are you talking about? Other signs. Mystical signs. That's what she means. Now, you can tell that she is not wanting to reveal all this information because often people that have mystical experiences don't share them. They're very private. They're extremely personal encounters with God that you don't necessarily just publish them everywhere, even though we want to know. And it would help us at times to know, but they're so intimately personal that it's difficult to share them. So he was a mystic from early on. So, okay, this is a stopping point, because if you research the saints, there's certain things that they have in common. One of them is they're very sacrificial. They're holy. But why are they holy? They're holy because they pray a lot. So they pray a lot, like 3 hours a day or more. So they pray a lot. But another thing is that they have mystical experiences. These mystical experiences transform them. Now, I've said this before in the channel, and people will critique me. It's one thing to seek out mystical experiences of your own making. It's one thing for you to try to make them happen, for you to try to have the dead appear to you, for you to have the angels appear to you. It's another thing to ask God for them. There is nothing wrong with asking God or asking a saint for mystical experiences. Because if you're saying, God, thy will be done, or if you're, or by simply asking God, you're implying thy will be done. There's nothing wrong to do that. It's wrong to seek them out, like on your own, to make them happen without asking God. And let me propose to you that if we don't have these supernatural experiences, we will be stunted in our faith. That every saint, research a saint. If you don't believe me, find a saint. And they had at least one, if not multiple, mystical experiences early on, and they transformed them. One that I can think of is St. Maximilian Kolbe. He had a mystical encounter with the Blessed Mother when he was a child. It transformed them. In a certain sense, every time we receive the Eucharist, it's a supernatural encounter. But you know what I'm talking about. So now I'm not saying seek them out only. Ask God only for these things, because you may only have one in your lifetime. But we can always ask the Lord, Father, if it is your will, give me a mystical encounter so that I can be transformed, so that I can become a saint. Will it bring about difficulties and sufferings? That's what you have to do to become a saint. You have to have a difficult life with trials. There's no way around that. So just something for you to consider. Since we're asking it in God's will, God decides at the end of the day. Carlo used to say that it is mainly through Eucharistic adoration, which is nothing other than the adoration of God, that we find the entirety of creation. And he loved to remind us that by prolonging this holy practice for at least a half an hour, you can gain a plenary indulgence according to the conditions established by the Church, which can be applied to oneself or for the dead in purgatory. Implying that he went to adoration often and for periods of 30 minutes or more. Consider doing that. He also said that even though it is not easy to achieve the main condition required, complete detachment of sin, and it says there, which is a complete lack of any sin whatsoever, including venial sin, we should not snub our noses at these graces, which are freely dispensed because of the merits of Jesus Christ and of the saints, and the concession given to Peter to bind and to loosen. Carlo also performed the so-called heroic act of dedicating all his good works and prayers to the souls in purgatory and to the intentions of the Virgin Mary. I spoke about this in a previous video, that he did it. We should do it too. Now, people sometimes misunderstand the heroic act. She explains it very simply there, that it is dedicating everything that you do to them, specifically the suffrages. You can find somewhere else. You can search up on Google, what is the heroic act, so it could be clearly defined. It's very simple. The idea is very simple. The prayer that you do is very short and simple. There's no necessarily any preparation needed. And I recommend for you to do this as soon as possible because it benefits the souls in purgatory immediately. And when you benefit them, you become holier. They help you more. You grow in holiness. And this is something wise to do, even though it is scary because you're giving it all to them. But this is what Jesus, the example he lays for us, St. Carlo did this. I think we're not better than him that we should not do this. We need to do this. He loved to emphasize that our dead recall us to eternal life, to that which awaits us in the afterlife. They remind us that there is an after. They tell us how to live our everyday lives, and they help us avoid making mistakes which can jeopardize our salvation. Many of them, he said, are in purgatory. They are suffering, and for this reason they ask for our suffrage, because in this way we can speed up their entry into eternal bliss. Now, listen to the following thing, which is pretty awesome. After Carlo's death, three priests, who did not know one another, one from Peru, one from Brazil, one from Costa Rica, wrote that they had dreamt of Carlo telling them that he was especially praying not only for those who asked for his intercession, but also for those he had known in life and for souls in purgatory. So if he appears to these priests to tell them that he's praying for the souls in purgatory, remember, you cannot reap what you do not sow. It's because he prayed a lot for the souls in purgatory, and then this becomes a hallmark of who he is in the afterlife. Amazing stuff. So he is a powerful intercessor for the souls in purgatory now because he was then. So this tells you he prayed a lot. Pray a lot for them. Ask his intercession for them, for your deceased loved ones. It continues, with this information, after my son's departure for heaven, I began to have Gregorian masses celebrated at a cloistered monastery in continuous rotation, 365 days a year as a gift for him. Not because he needed it, obviously, but just as a thank you and a gift for you. Can you imagine the fruit of this? His mother now celebrates Mass for the souls in purgatory, or has offered 365 a year. We're going to talk about this in later videos. This holy work started with St. Gregory the Great, a pope and a great doctor of the church, and consists in the celebration of one Mass a day for 30 consecutive days for the soul of a single dead person. If you've not ever heard of Gregorian Masses, most of you have, do them for your loved ones. They're powerful. A few days after my son's death, I came across some reflections on purgatory in his notes. Listen to how he understands purgatory, 15 and younger. I don't know how old he was when he wrote this, but awesome stuff here. Purgatory is cleaning our robes down to the last stain. One enters into co-eternity dressed in white. As St. Catherine of Genoa wrote, the divine essence is so pure and brilliant that the soul who has cognizance of a single imperfection prefers to pass through 1,000 hells rather than to appear before the face of God with the stain of sin. But the point of purgatory is to eliminate the stain. The soul chooses this place to find within it the mercy needed to free itself from its wrongs. Maria Sima says something similar. The souls in purgatory choose purgatory. They want to go there to be purified. Later she says, Carlo had mystical experiences regarding these ultimate realities. Again, continuing with what I was saying earlier, something to think about. In particular, he was aware that life involves a continuous cycle of tests, which if we dress ourselves in Christ, we can surely defeat. So you cannot avoid difficulties in life. Often people are like, okay, is there a safe way to heaven? And by safe way to heaven, they mean with no trials, with no sufferings, with nothing. And then I make sure I get into heaven. It's not like that. Yes, there are safer ways to heaven, consecrating yourself to the Blessed Mother, divine mercy devotion, etc. But it will involve a cycle of tests and trials. No way getting around that. Carlo was quite struck by Sister Lucia of Fatima's memoirs, where she tells of how during the May 13th, 1917 apparition, she and the two other shepherds asked Mary if their two 16-year-old friends who had recently passed away were already in heaven. The Virgin confirmed that one was already in heaven, but the second one would remain in purgatory until the end of time. Right after, the shepherds asked if they would also be brought to heaven, and the Virgin answered that Lucia and Jacinta surely would be, but that Francisco needed to recite many rosaries. One day, not longer after reading this episode, Carlo told us, worried, if Francisco, who was so good, so kind and simple, had to recite so many rosaries to go to heaven, how could I ever earn it, since I, in comparison, am much less saintly? We should also make these reflections. The numerous writings which Carlo collected for his exhibition Inferno, Paradiso, et Purgatorio included one to which he was particularly attached, from St. Faustina Kowalska's diary. By the way, he had about 80 entries just on purgatory, on saints that you have to be like a incredible theological researcher to find these stories of purgatory that he found. I've been using them in some of my videos. Unbelievable. So he found incredible works on purgatory. I haven't even gotten to the ones on heaven and hell. So listen to this one from St. Faustina. In a moment, I was in a misty place full of fire, in which there was a great crowd of suffering souls. They were praying fervently, but to no avail. For themselves, only we can come to their aid. The flames which were burning them did not touch me at all. My guardian angel did not leave me for an instant. I asked these souls what their greatest suffering was. They answered in one voice that their greatest torment was longing for God. I saw Our Lady visiting the souls in purgatory. The souls call her the Star of the Sea. She brings them refreshment. I wanted to talk with them some more, but my guardian angel beckoned me to leave. We went out of that prison of suffering, and I heard an interior voice which said, "My mercy does not want this, but justice demands it." Later on, she states that it was Beata, their Polish nanny, that had a very strong influence on him praying for the souls in purgatory. She was the one that planted that seed initially. Now, as I promised, here are those two secrets. The first one is this. He, with his mother, prayed a prayer to Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii to skip purgatory. Let's talk about this. On the first Sunday of October, a few days before Carlo died, we recited the prayer to Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii together. We asked the Virgin Mary to help us become holy, to help us not go through purgatory, and to bring us straight to heaven after death. She actually mentions this a second time. So this is a specific grace that he was asking for. Our request had been formulated directly by Carlo. So I don't know what the prayer was, but we should pray it, formulate it ourselves, and or look up prayers to Our Lady of Pompeii. The grace was confirmed. Obviously, he was canonized, but listen to this. Not long after his death, I received confirmation that the Virgin Mary had listened. I had gone with my husband on pilgrimage to Monte Sant'Angelo in the Gargano region in Apulia. And then later on, she says, "I decided at that point to stay a bit longer, and I sat down to pray in front of the altar with the statue of Saint Michael. I began to think of Carlo, asking myself whether he was already in heaven with Jesus, and I suddenly heard an interior locution. A voice told me these simple words, 'Carlo is in heaven, and this is enough for you.'" Can you imagine that? He asked for the grace. He lived the life. He asked for the grace. It was given to him. We need to imitate this. Now, one last secret about his spirituality that you need to know. Okay, two secrets that you need to know. At school, Carlo distinguished himself for his work ethic and obedience. His secret was to remain in constant contact with the Father. He always said, "Praying is just conversing with God." In this sense, I can truly say that he was always praying. I think there's just no getting around this. We need to ask God and St. Carlo Acutis for the grace to always pray. There's no getting around this one. We need to do it. One last thing. He already possessed the virtue of temperance, which is restraining yourself when necessary, which for a child of his age should not be taken for granted, or even for an adult for that matter. In this regard, he made small sacrifices to help souls in purgatory. For example, giving up snacks, desserts, and fruit. He made little sacrifices to the Virgin Mary, who had expressly requested this in her many apparitions over the course of the centuries. He also made sacrifices by not watching his favorite movies. He never wanted to see violent or vulgar films. He loved cartoons and documentaries about animals. If he saw questionable or sexual advertisements on TV, he covered his eyes and immediately left the room or asked us to change the channel so as to not watch harmful programs. She goes on to talk about so many other things. This book, it's amazing. Is it now clear to you why he's a canonized saint? We can relate to him in the sense that he lived in our times, but he was by far an extraordinary individual, truly a saint. And you need to ask his prayers because he is unbelievably powerful and we need to imitate his examples and become saints like him. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.